السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. یا رب صلی وسلم دائما ابدا علی حبیبک خیر الخلق کلہم. In the Christian world, those countries that were ruled by Christians. So we find that initially what they did was they interpolated the divine scriptures. Because now they wanted to do certain things, they wanted to lead a certain type of a lifestyle, which in their own scriptures was prohibited. Certain things that they wanted to do was of a prohibited nature. So what they did is they interpolated the scriptures. They started changing things. They did away with the divine scripture. And they came out with other books. But eventually, that too was not enough. As a Christian, you are ruling a country and you have got subjects that think they're following some sort of divine religion, right? Now you want to establish banks. You want to start charging the people interest. You want to establish an insurance system. You want to establish brothels. You want to establish gambling dens, escort agencies, movie houses, strip clubs, all these type of things you want to establish. Now, no matter how much you interpolate, whatever you interpolate, you're not going to get any permissibility for these things. So then what they did, they said, no, we need to separate the church from the state. That now, all the divine laws and everything, that applies in the church. For the state, we draw up a constitution. And now, the constitution becomes law. This constitution is then glorified to such an extent that even the church has to follow the constitution. What was supposed to be the law now comes under the constitution of the country. The church too has to abide by the constitution. So slowly, slowly what they did was they eradicated what they considered to be a religion. They eradicated it totally. Now when we look at that, and we look at us Muslims, then we are going in the similar road, if not worse. We're going in the similar road, if not worse. If you came to hear how beautiful Jannat is, then this is not going to be in this program. This program is for our Islah, for our Reformation. So, certain bitter things will be spoken, we must digest it if we want our Islah. If we don't want Islah, then we shouldn't be sitting in this program. But this program is a program for Islah, for Reformation. Right? So we Muslims, how are we also going in the same direction, if not worse? Leave the so-called Muslim countries. Let us talk about us. See, a person is running a business. In his business, he is dealing with interest. In his business, his staff are all mixed up. Men, women, they're all mixing, everything is happening. He's got insurance in his business. He's running his business in accordance with the constitution of the country. He won't do anything openly that violates the law of the country, because then he's going to get a fine, or he can get closed down, or whatever. So he tries, whether he's doing it quietly, that's a different story, but openly he won't do. Now the person is in that business, he's got no intention at all to change his practices. He is so happy about his achievements that every now and again he has a 5-year celebration, 10-year celebration, 30-year celebration. We're 50 years in this guna business of ours. So we're celebrating. And the celebration also is full of guna. Celebration full of guna. And who's invited? All the other Muslim businessmen. We're talking about Muslim businesses. Right? They would invite the other suppliers, non-Muslims also. But all the Muslim who's who in the zoo is also invited. Right? Now this person leaves the shop of his and goes for namaz. Or in this very business of his, he establishes a musalla. The business is all upside down. There's riba, there's insurance, men and women, we're not talking about the customers, we're talking about the staff, mixed up. Certain products that are being sold are questionable, right? If not totally haram, right? All this is happening, all upside down. And no intention of changing it, right? But I establish a musalla in that very business. And I feel that I've done my duty to Allah Ta'ala, that I went and read my namaz and came. I leave this haram that is taking place. I'm going to go and make sajda to Allah Ta'ala to come back quickly to this haram. I got no intention of changing this setup. I'm quite happy with it. In fact, it must get bigger, it must get bolder, it must get better. But not better according to deen. Right? This one example. Take our weddings. Everything upside down inside. Majority of the weddings. Right? We hardly have any walimas. Yeah, a lot of people, they call it a walima, but it's not a walima. Walima is a sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not what we're doing. What we're doing is not walima. Right? What we're doing is just haram entertainment. That's all. So, we have a walima, or a wedding, nikah. We want the nikah must be performed in the masjid. And no, the girls, her ustad must come make the nikah. No, certain hazrat is around, he must come make the nikah. Right? His sheikh is around, must come make the nikah. Right? So a lot of, we need the barakat. So once the nikah is finished, then even the groom, he shows us what is a human chameleon. Right? Because when you see him in a masjid, he's somebody else. After that, once you see him half an hour later, 15 minutes later, somebody else. Right? In the masjid, he may have been looking like Ahmad or Muhammad or Suleiman. When you see him outside, Then you maybe you call him Batman or Spider-Man or Jack or Dingaan or Jlamini or something. So, why the change? Why is it that when I come for the nikah, then I have to wear that sharkiya or dafa or ritob or whatever that I bought when I went for umrah? I got to wear that. But only for the masjid. As soon as I come out, now I need to find the Christian clothing, the Jewish clothing, right? I need to find the idolaters clothing, right? I need to find all that clothing. I must now change into that now. Why? Do I only like my deen for 15 minutes? My deen I only love for 15 minutes. Because I just need to get the barkat. The nikah must be performed. And after that, the rest of the night, everything un-Islamic. Whatever the kuffar do, we must do. And then in the hall, no, we got a namaz facility. We got a namaz facility. Everything like kuffar. But I've got a namaz facility. So I went, now the ones who are a little bit more conscious about the namaz, they're sitting there, they join that whole haram celebration, and no, we broke for namaz, like, we went and read our namaz, and we came back, so we're very good Muslims. There's no tawbah, there's no istighfar, there's no niyat that, look, I'm never going to attend another thing like this ever again. Right? I didn't know it was going to be like this. Or as soon as I saw, hey, things are all upside down here, let me wake up and go away from here. No. I'm quite comfortable there. I'll break to go and read my namaz. That going to go and read my namaz and turning to my Allah, saying Allahu Akbar, how much has it sunk in? Every posture I went, I said Allahu Akbar. Did it sink in? Because immediately after that namaz, I go back into the guna. Straight back into the guna. A person is what he calls a professional. That means he is now some lawyer, whatever it may be. In his office, the way he's conducting his office, the way he's doing his things, majority, illa mashallah, you will get the few that are doing things correctly, etc. But the majority, the way that office is run, who's employed there, as soon as you enter, it's a Muslim-owned practice. Right? It's a Muslim-owned practice. As soon as you enter there, now you must talk to one young girl. Because she's the receptionist or the secretary or whatever. So that Muslim man, what job he had? Why did he have to put her there? For what? Because it doesn't break the law of the land. So it's fine, I can employ her. But it broke the law of Allah Ta'ala. That's okay. I've separated my life from my deen. My deen is for Eid day. For half an hour Jummah time, when my business is going through some crisis, and when there is a fear of attack on my shop, now, hey, what this Mufti said, what must read for protection? That one, what he said, must read for protection. Now you see all the pamphlets going around. Hey, no, we're reading 1,000 times La Hawla, we're reading 1,000 times Istighfar. But we don't want to change our life. We don't want to change our life. We don't want to make a tawbah and a istighfar and say, right, this is now behind us. Right? Now is this World Cup story. What does World Cup got to do with us? As Muslims, what does it have to do with us? Ask yourself. Ask yourself, this World Cup, what does it have to do with the Muslim? But maybe you can count on your fingers how many Muslims are not interested. Everybody wants to know who's playing, who won, who lost. For what? What it got to do with us? So no, I'm just watching the match. Just watching the match. So, did Allah Pak allow you to use the eyes He gave you to watch the match? Did Allah Pak allow you to use the ears He gave us to listen? Did Allah Pak allow it? So go find your own eyes to watch it. Why use the eyes that Allah Pak gave to watch it, when He never allowed us to watch it? When He told us that a man's satr is still over his knees. Now all those fellas running around in short pants, how are you going to look at them? It's haram. Totally haram. One person says that the World Cup creates a lot of interest, either rightfully or wrongfully so. How can it be either rightfully or wrongfully? It's only wrong. There's no right. It's only wrong. It's haram. Finish. End of story. There's no debate about it. People running around with their satr showing. Can it be permissible? Now you say no. Not you. Maybe somebody will argue. No, I'm not looking at the satr. I'm not looking at the satr. Just like saying you're eating dal and rice and not eating the dal. How are you not going to look at the satr? That fellow is kicking. That fellow is... How are you not going to look at his satr? His satr is exposed. You're looking at the satr. It's not permissible. You cannot look at somebody else's satr. It's not permissible. There's no shari'i reason for you to look at the satr. From small, we get indoctrinated. We get indoctrinated. And then we start thinking that certain things are achievements. Things that are full of guna, we regard it as an achievement. We congratulate one another on a guna. And we think we're doing something wonders. A person's daughter, imagine a Muslimah. Now if the Muslim girls too, they're not getting left. Everywhere they too going. Girls too are not getting left. So now our girls now, ladies, girls, they too want to run comrades. And if they complete the race, then the parents, proudly, advertising their daughter's accomplishment, achievement on their phone, on their status, on their... Oh, hey, she did it. She made it. Did what? Made what? Made Allah angry? She did it again. She made Allah angry again? What's there to be happy about? If somebody did it, you know, they just had a desire in their heart, no, I got to run this race, I got to win, you know, I want to just see if I can do this thing. And the person did it. Now make tawbah, make istighfar and keep quiet about it. There's nothing to advertise about it. A person running the race, and forget the runner, the other million people looking at it. How you not going to look at the woman? And are the women decently dressed? Are the women decently dressed? How you not going to look at them? The person who's running, He bichara, calf is paining, thigh is paining, panting. Maybe he's not going to look at the ladies, right? He's more worried about surviving, reaching the end. But all the viewers, all the people watching, this is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, "Man kathara suwad qawmin fahuwa minhum." That person who increases the numbers of a people, then he is from them. Right? Now imagine I go to run that thing. Allah save me. How many spectators I'm going to have? So all those spectators, who's going to get the guna? Am I not going to get the guna? If I'm going to run the thing, now my wife came out there, my brother came out there, my nephew and niece came out there because, hey, my uncle is running, or my cousin is running, or my son is running. We are on the brink of what may turn out to be a civil war. We are on the brink of that. And the ummah is still in ghaflat. Can't be bothered. Can't be bothered. And we think that, no, I went and read my namaz. So is deen confined to namaz? This is a question I need to ask myself, you need to ask yourself. Is deen confined just to salah? What about all the other ahkam? What about all the other do's and don'ts in the shariat? Must all that just be ignored? Everything we bring in guna into it. Everything we bring in sin into it. Qurbani, we bring sin into it. Everything we bring a guna into it. So have we then not separated our deen from our lives? That the deen is there. The deen is there to be used now and again. When we require it. Jummah time, I'll practice, I'll go. I'll go and read Jummah Salah. When I'm standing in front of Allah Ta'ala and reading the Jummah Salah, is Allah Ta'ala happy with my appearance? Even that I'm not worried about. But I went, I read my Jummah Namaz. The whole wedding function, honeymoon, funny moon, everything. Now for 15 minutes, we'll go in the masjid, make one nikah. And we did our duty to our deen. Now after that, everything else must go according to our nafs, according to shaitan, according to the ways of the kuffar. If you look at everything in our lives is like this. Majority of us, we are living our life like this. When we have come to a situation, where we are advising our community that, I got one advice for you. You go for World Cup, all that. Just make sure you read your namaz. We are supposed to be saying that this is guna. Don't go. It's haram. Now, if somebody went, he never listened to any of the warnings. He didn't listen to anything. And he went. And while he was there, he went and read his namaz. Sorry, at least he read his namaz. At least he read his namaz. There's no wonders he did. He went in an environment of sin. He committed guna. Or at least he went and read his namaz. At least that much. But from the beginning, to say that, alright, TK, rightfully, wrongfully. But just, my advice, just read your namaz. What is that? And unfortunately, ayat of the Quran Sharif too are quoted. Can we equate a soccer match to the bay and tijarat of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu? The ayat is quoted. Quran Sharif has become cheap to us. Deen has become cheap to us. Today, So many people now, they're reading messages. When we finish with the illegal immigrants, we're coming for you Indians. Then we're reading graffiti on the walls. Muslims are the problem. Need to get rid of the Muslims. But I agree with them 100%. I agree with them. Because if we Muslims were right, these halat won't come. When we Muslims, we are doing all these wrong things. Allah Ta'ala is removing the robe that the kuffar are supposed to have for us. Allah is removing it from their hearts. They are disliking us. They are disliking us. Because we have distanced ourselves from the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If we remained by the sunnah, they too would have loved us. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they won over hearts before they won over lands. People used to actually beg them to come and rule over them. Say, please come and rule over us. We rather have you as our ruler, because you will treat us with justice. But when the Muslim has left all of this, then we are squealing why halat are coming upon us. What is the use? We're sitting, we're strategizing. This will be our strategy. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. Are we sitting with our community and telling our community, bye, get out of interest dealing? That's your first strategy. Because when you are busy with interest dealing, you are at war with Allah Pak. What strategy of yours is going to work where? Which strategy is going to work where? We're driving our motor car that is on interest. We're coming to the masjid to read namaz. The car is on interest. We're driving and coming to the masjid. We are at war with Allah. We're coming to the masjid to read namaz. And after we read namaz, we jump into that same interest and go back home. And the house too is on interest. So can you see our lives where it's going? Muslims decide to do some training, going firearm training, shooting. Say, very good, very good. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged the Sahaba, no, shoot your arrows, shoot your arrows, ride your horses, shoot your arrows. So now Muslims start clubs and shooting clubs for him. Alhamdulillah, they're making amal on that sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now you go put music there. Something which you could have done with the niyat of sunnah, but that too we must ape how the kuffar do it. Because no, we need to be in line with what? What's all those shooting NS something and this something and that something? We must be in line with that. So instead of reading Bismillah and starting, I must beep and start. Then I need to make a video of the person. The tasawir is haram. Then after that, I must upload it on my status with music. Where are we gone? Genuinely, we need to reflect. Look into our hearts and see, where am I gone? Where is my life gone? We need to really take stock of ourselves. Really take stock. And when we speak like this, then people ask, so what must Muslims do? We've gone so far away from our deen that we don't know what Muslims must do. As if to say, the only thing in life is what these kuffar spew out. The only way you can enjoy yourself is escape to others. The only way you can enjoy yourself is comrades. The only way you can enjoy yourself is World Cup. The only way you can enjoy yourself is some kuffar entertainment. The only way we can have a family get together is we have to do it how the kuffar do it.
The only way we can get married is do it how the kuffar do it. Is there not enough in our deen? Sahaba radiallahu anhum lived what beautiful lives. They never did any of this. They didn't do any of this. But what wonderful lives they led. So brothers, everybody is talking about unrest, talking about xenophobia. Some people are saying, no, the Yahud are behind this. They are funding this march to march and funding this dudulas and whoever. All these stories people are talking. Then people even put out articles for you. They'll show you facts. No, the Yahud are behind it. This is the thing against Islam. So why, if we know all of this, then who must we turn to? If there's so much threat on us, there's nobody to put a loving hand over the head of the ummah anymore, in the words of Mahazir Rahmatullah Ali. So then who do we turn to? Must we then not turn to Allah Pak? Or must we still lick the vomit of our enemies? The same enemy who is behind this, who's causing all this problem, we must go and lick the vomit that they spewed out. All their ways, all their filth. Really, we got to think. We got to really think. Start in our own home. See where we're going wrong. Check our own families, what's happening? Who in my family I'm not talking to? My wife, how is she treating my parents? If we don't put these little things right, how we expect Allah's mercy to come down? Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he talks about the respect of parents. Right? He says the respect for your parents must be such that you mustn't even dust a garment in front of them. That's how much respect you have. You don't even dust a garment in their presence. And today, how are we with our parents? After Allah Ta'ala, the most important relationship, right? Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then comes our parents. And what is our behavior with our parents? So every department we got to look at. Our akhlaq, my staff, how am I treating them? My neighbors, what's happening? In my own life, what am I doing? What's my pastimes? What am I doing? So many people, they go fishing. Right? People go fishing. I go fishing. I like fishing. Right? Now, maybe going once in the year or something. Right? Now, when we go fishing, are we fishing because we're hungry? We're not fishing for survival or something, but we use live bait. Not catching, put a live bait. Put the crackers. When you tell them you can't use live, no, mana, when you put this thing in the hook, it dies, man. Put in the hook, it dies. Then why are you using it? Why you don't buy the dead one and use it? Why are you buying the live one and putting it live on there? Then they'll go fishing with somebody who's a little bit conscious, they wait for him to look that side. Then you're putting that worm on that thing. Who are we fooling? And for nothing, for no reason. If we never catch that fish, it's no problem. Allah has given us so much of other food. But we must go and do that. Muslim people today, they take to hunting. Muslim people, they're going and shooting predators. They're going and shooting lions. They're going and shooting for what? Why are you shooting that animal? Because the kafir does it. Because the kafir does it, I must do it. That's the ultimate now. I mean, I shot a lion. So, did Allah Pak tell you to shoot that lion? How are you going to answer on the day of Qiyamah? How are you going to answer on the day of Qiyamah? For what reason I shot that lion? I can't eat it. It was not troubling me. There was no problem with it. I went looking for it. I killed it for nothing. Absolutely no reason. Now when somebody come and loot my shop for absolutely no reason, and I'm crying, I say, this is injustice. Where is the police? Where is the government? Where is this? Don't vote ANC. Don't vote this one. Don't vote that one. But when I went and killed that lion, injustice, no reason at all, I went and just shot that thing dead. Then I didn't think that I am committing a zulm.
So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Allah give us tawfiq.
I am guilty myself of worse crimes than you.
Allah give me tawfiq to sort myself out. And Allah give you tawfiq to sort yourself out. But we have to make a start somewhere. If I'm just going and reading my namaz, alhamdulillah, it's a good thing. But my deen doesn't end there. You know, we're playing paddle, we're playing ball, but we read our namaz too. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. If your son tells you that, no, dad, I eat healthy chicken fillet, I have some smoothie, I have this, I have that, and then I just take one drug also with it. And then I'll just take one drug also. You just allow me, right? The allowance you gave me, I'm buying chicken too, I'm buying mutton too, I'm buying fish also, everything I'm doing, and then I'll just buy some drugs also there. You won't allow it? You won't allow? But with Allah Pak, we expect Allah Pak must allow this for us. So let us think, let us think. Allah Ta'ala has been very, very merciful to us. Very, very merciful. I mentioned this in few programs. A good few times, Allah Ta'ala took us right there, right there. And Allah saved us. Ask the older people. Ask the people who went through 84 riots. What could have happened? Ask the people at the time when the transition was taking place. How everybody was in a panic. Allah Ta'ala good few times took us right there. And He kept us in His protection. But let us not take Allah Ta'ala for granted. Let us not take the deen of Allah Ta'ala for granted. We need to make tawbah, we need to sit with our families, we need to look at our business structures. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, he used to say, hey, you got extra prop, if you caught up in interest, you got extra properties, sell the extra properties, pay everything off, come out of the interest. Come out of the interest. But we don't want to take the steps to put ourselves right. Go through our businesses, see what's not right there. Today is so sad, man, so sad. Every way, corruption, Muslims' names are there. There was a time when people, they say, if you're dealing with a Muslim, you don't have to worry about anything. You don't even need a document, you don't need nothing. You're dealing with a Muslim, his word is enough. Today, people are saying, hey, just don't do business with Muslims. Don't deal with Muslims. Why? So let us see what we're doing. Muslim people getting involved with the municipality, they're robbing the municipalities too. Robbing one another too. Inheritance is all upside down. Other day he's telling me, he asked the chap, hey, you're joking, he said, you're enjoying the, you know, father's money, now father left all the money and went. Estate not warm. Sometimes generations are going, estate not warm. How are we going to answer to Allah? Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Ready really, really we need to buck up. We need to buck up. We need to buck up. We have to see where we're going wrong and put it right. Things that are wajib, wajib, we got no choice in the matter. Who gave us choices? But we carrying on like we writing the book. We carrying on like we writing the rule book. We are slaves, boy. Slaves, we are just slaves. And we got the audacity to behave like this. Allah forgive us. Allah Ta'ala forgive us. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluh wa laka ash-shukru kulluh. Allahumma rabbana zalamna anfusana wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار. يا الله forgive our sins, O Allah. You forgive our sins, O Allah. We are your weak mandas, O Allah. We are full of faults, Ya Allah. Full of shortcomings, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you forgive us, O Allah. Forgive us, O Allah. Forgive us, O Allah. Ya Allah, give us hidayat, O Allah. Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min zawali ni'matik wa tahawuli afiyatik. وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار. اللهم إنا نسألك الرضا بالقضاء ونسألك برد العيش بعد الموت ونسألك لذة النظر إلى وجهك والشوق إلى لقائك. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. والحمد لله رب العالمين.